We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. I'm right here in Cocoa, Florida, WMIE 91.5 FM and WWBC 1510 AM. So thank you for tuning in. We've been doing a series on becoming stronger in the Lord, strengthened to heal, strengthened for the attack, you know, and we started off talking about Jonathan helping David strengthen. On Friday's broadcast, we talked about that David had matured to the place that now he knew what to do whenever he came into a time of discouragement, and that was he would strengthen himself. That was in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Today I want to take you to the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to start reading today in the 39th verse. We want to say thank you to everybody who came out and was part of our Sunday services this weekend. Thank you for sharing the weekend with us and worshiping Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are blessed at Merit Assembly of God. We're thankful to be a part of God's plan of redemption, and we're just thankful to that God wants to partner with us. So if you will turn in your scriptures to Luke chapter 22, I'm going to begin reading this morning in the 39th verse. And it said, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, that's Jesus, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And that's where we're going to end the reading today. I'd like to talk to you today because I've shared a couple of different things. One, when we began this study, how God had Jonathan go to David when he was discouraged and being pursued by the enemy, and he helped David to find strength in the Lord. And then on last Friday's broadcast, I had ministered on how David strengthened himself in the Lord. Today, I want to talk to you about heaven wanting to strengthen us for the task that God has for us. Now, I believe that it is very important for us that we know what the will of God is, that we know that we are doing what God has called us, that we know that God's got the results in his hand, that he's going to send forth his word. It's going to accomplish his task, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And so I believe that those things are very, very important. You know, I talked on Friday's broadcast about how David helped the Amalekite to find strength in his body And when others abandoned him because of his weakness, David helped him to find strength. And that young man helped them to find everything that had been stolen from them. In Luke 22:39, Jesus is on his way. He is beginning to make his journey to the cross. And it says that he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about today is that the reality that you and I, we need to have a regular relationship with God. It needs to be a relationship that has some frequency to it. It needs to be a relationship that has matured to where it is more than just an event. It is a lifestyle. And when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, he wasn't just going there on a sightseeing tour. Gethsemane, the word Gethsemane means to an olive press. It means that's what it was. There was that it was the place where olives were transformed into olive oil. There was a pressing that was going on there. It was a place where something was transformed from just a food item into something that would later be used as anointing oil or cooking oil. It had to be pressed. And that's what was going to take place at Gethsemane here, the Mount of Olives. But Jesus was accustomed to going there. He was accustomed to getting alone with God. He was accustomed to praying and seeking God's face. He was accustomed to hearing God say, "I want you to choose these people to follow you." That's what we need to be. We need to be people that before we are in a firefight, we have a regular relationship with God. A lot of times what happens is whenever we are in a time of ease, whenever we are in a time of comfort, we don't have any issues going on, we tend to pull back on our relationship with God. We tend to be a little more slack in our diligence, and that's not what God is looking for. He is looking for a relationship that can enjoy the blessing of prosperity. He's looking for people who will not compromise their relationship with God just because they're not going through a problem. And so I want to challenge you today. A lot of times we're talking to people who may be going through issues, but right now I want to address people. Maybe you're not going through any financial issues. You're not going through any relational issues. Things couldn't be better in your life. I want to challenge you during that time, create a spiritual habit of getting into the presence of God. Create something that is customary. Listen, you ought to be extremely predictable for when you're not going to be home. People ought to know, hey, I'm going to be in the house of God such and such a time. Several years ago, we had been doing a project at church, and this was a long time ago. This is somewhere between 15 and 20 years ago, I would guess. So I was much younger, much more flexible, but we'd been doing a project, and I had been doing a motion that I wasn't accustomed to doing, and I woke up on Sunday morning, and I couldn't get out of bed. My body would not allow me to function without pain, and I guess I did finally make it out of bed, but I couldn't make it to church, and I had to have somebody fill in for me that day. And so I was at home, and someone knocked on the door, and there I am, all my family's at church and except for me. And someone knocked on the door, and I finally managed to make it to the door, and we had the conversation, and the person all of a sudden said, "What are you doing here?" Because, you know, it suddenly dawned on them, hey, this is Sunday morning. You're the pastor. why aren't you in church? Is everything okay? And, you know, and that's when I explained to him. And so I want to encourage you, have your custom. Know, people should know that you are going to be in the Word at a certain time. God should know that you're going to meet Him in prayer at a certain time, that I'm going to meet Him at a certain time in prayer. And so I want to encourage you, develop that relationship, grow in that relationship, even when you're not going through a crisis. And it says, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And, you know, that is one of the great things about prayer, is it empowers us to not give in to the temptations of the enemy. You know, Jesus would go on and tell them in another gospel, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And every time he came back to the disciples, he found them sleeping over and over and again. And he said, could you not tarry 1 hour? Could you not tarry 1 hour? And so those that were closest to him were not able to be of any support to Jesus during this time. They were fatigued in their body, and they really didn't have a clue as to what was coming up, even though Jesus had informed them and told them, hey, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. But they didn't have any understanding. You know, sometimes we have conversations with people and we communicate, but we don't understand. And it wasn't until after the Holy Spirit had come that he helped them to understand the things that Jesus had said. So here Jesus is at the most critical juncture in his earthly life. He is now getting ready to go fulfill that which he came for, and that was to go to the cross, to be crucified, suffer, bleed, die, so that our sins could be forgiven and our bodies be made whole. He's ready to go pay the price as a ransom for you and I, that we might be redeemed. He's getting ready to go and do what nobody would voluntarily do, and he volunteered to do it, not for his sins, but for our sins. So in verse number 41, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed. And he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so today, I just briefly, I don't want to get into a whole bunch of it as to the will of God here, but there are going to be times when the will of God is contrary to the will of our flesh. And Jesus was here praying, and he makes it clear in no uncertain terms that he wants the will of the Father to be accomplished. And so as we're here on this Monday, what a different sort of week we would have if we would set out with this objective: God, I want your will to be accomplished. I want your will to be accomplished more than my will. In fact, my will is that your will be done. Even if it is inconvenient to my flesh, even if it is painful to my flesh, God, I want your will to be done. You know, my family is a long way away from here. My mother and my father, my brother, my sister, my in-laws, my wife's family, they're all a long way away. And every time we leave to come back where God has called us, you know, my parents say something like, oh, you know, I just wish you would move back here. And it's, you know, like, you know, I'm called to do what God has called me to do. It is what I choose to do because it is what God has called me to do. It is His will, and His will is always going to be the sweetest spot that you will ever know. And so even though it is not a desire for me to cause grief for my mother or for my father, it is my desire to please my Heavenly Father I have a desire to honor my parents. I really do. I take that responsibility very high. But when it comes to pleasing, I'm choose to do the will of my Heavenly Father more than my own will. And so Jesus is praying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus wanted his disciples to be helping him in prayer. But that wasn't happening on this day. And it says here in verse number 43, it's a powerful, powerful verse that a lot of times as we're reading over our scriptures, if we just read over it and gloss over it, a lot of times we'll miss something. And so here Jesus was praying for the Father's will to be done, and his inner circle is not there to assist him in praying through this situation, but he wasn't abandoned. For in verse number 43, it says, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. If you remember when Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and faced the temptations of the enemy, that it said after the temptations were over, that an angel came and ministered to him then. So there was an angel that came and helped minister to him as he was in the wilderness wanderings. And now here he is, right as he's getting ready to go on to his journey to the cross. And even though his inner circle is sleeping when they were supposed to be praying, there is an angel from heaven that comes and strengthens him in his time of prayer. There may be those who are listening right now, and you are praying, you are faced with a great challenge. You are praying and you want the will of God to be done, and you don't feel like anybody else is there to support you. I want you to know that you are not left without an ally. You are left with heaven's resources being mobilized. Allow this radio broadcast to be a messenger from God to you today that brings you strength and say, pray on, prayer warrior. Pray on. Don't give up the fight. Keep praying. Heaven is mobilized on your behalf. Do not be discouraged. Do not give up. Even though the arm of flesh may fail you, the King of Heaven will not. That he has messengers that come to do his bidding. And I'm here to tell you that if Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, the Omnipotent One, the Almighty One, if heaven felt compelled to send a messenger to strengthen him for the task, then I, as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, can rest assured that even if I do not have a Jonathan, and even if I could not accomplish the strengthening that I need for the task on my own, God will send an ally from heaven. He will send a messenger that will come and strengthen me in whatever I am facing. So you may be praying and you are feeling discouraged because you haven't seen the results yet. You may have been praying for strength and feel inadequate for the task, and it feels like there's nobody there to support you. I want you to know that God's got a shift in the gears getting ready to take place for you. And there are two types of automobiles. You don't see manual transmissions all that much anymore. But there are manual transmissions, and then there are automatic transmissions. And I've had some experiences with manual transmissions that were great. I've had some experiences with manual transmissions that weren't all that great. And, you know, there were times when I couldn't get it into the gear that I needed to be in. And it's at those points in times that I'm thankful for an automatic transmission. And here's what happened. The angel appeared to Jesus from heaven and strengthened him. And it says in verse number 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Remember, we talked about earlier in this broadcast how going to the Mount of Olives, going to the Garden of Gethsemane, that that was part of Jesus' regular routine. It was customary for him to do that. That's why Judas knew where to find him, because Jesus had a routine of going there and seeking the face of God. And now Jesus is praying, an angel comes and ministers to him and strengthens him. And the result of that strengthening from heaven is that Jesus prayed even more earnestly. Today, I'm going to close this broadcast here in a few moments, asking God to take our prayer life to the next degree, to the next gear. I'm going to ask him to take our giving to the next gear. I'm going to ask him to take our serving to the next gear, that everything in our life, that God would strengthen us from heaven so that we could shift gears and move to the next gear, that if it's our prayer time, that it goes to the next gear. If it's our church attendance, that it goes to the next gear. If it's our evangelism of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that it goes to the next gear. Our missions giving goes to the next gear. Our serving in the body of Christ, that it goes to the next gear. And I believe that that's what happens when heaven strengthens us. If I can tell you, I don't have the exact reference right now, but what happens is he prays so earnestly. This part is here in Luke chapter 22. It says, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And so as he's praying, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, your will be done, not my will, that even then in that prayer and in that time of prayer, the shedding of blood begins to take place even before he goes to the cross. There is a shift in gears to the point he prays with such intensity that what the reality of what's getting ready to take place, it already begins to happen in the prayer closet. I believe that there is that we need to stay in our prayer closet and until we begin to see the manifestation of the promise that what God is going to do, what he wants us to accomplish, that it happens in our prayer closet. When we have the assurance that it's happening in our prayer closet, then it's just a matter of time until it manifests in our daily life. Here's what I wanted to share with you. It's in another place in the Gospels. But Judas shows up with all of his armed hordes, and they say, you know, Jesus walks up to them, and actually before that, he says to the disciples, rise, let us go. Here comes our betrayer. And it wasn't that Jesus was saying, hurry up, guys, we need to get out of here and hurry on to a different way. I believe that the results that Jesus had in his prayer closet was, I'm ready to go to the cross. Come on, let's go. Our betrayer is coming, and let's go meet him. If Jesus was trying to get away, let me tell you what one of the other Gospels describes. It describes that he encounters those who are coming to arrest him, and he says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And when he said that, there was such force with the words that he declared that those who were pursuing him fell back on the ground, and they couldn't have pursued him if they wanted to. And Jesus said, okay, let's go over this one more time. Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I'm who you're looking for. Let these people go. And so Jesus could have had a way of escape, but he wasn't looking to escape. He was looking to fulfill. And so there was tremendous power with which Jesus emerged, and he wasn't looking for a way of escape. He was looking for the fulfillment of his destiny that was going to bring about our redemption. Praise the Lord. So we're going to pray here in just a moment that God will strengthen us from heaven to embrace his will for our life. And as a result of that, we would not go moaning and groaning, but we would go with the power of the Holy Spirit, empowered by heaven, because there's something, even if nobody else is there with you, God will meet you in your prayer closet today. So can we just pray a little bit different as far as the time frame today, but I want to pray for you. Father, there may be those right now that are listening, and Lord, if there are people who are going through a season without any problems, God, I thank you for them. I thank you for that. And I pray that we would begin to develop and mature in our relationship with you, God, that there would be things that, Lord, it would just be customary for us. I pray that our prayer time would be customary. I pray that our church attendance, God, that it would be customary. Lord, that you would know where we are going to be, that the enemy would know where we are going to be, and God, that it would become a maturing in our walk with you. I pray today, God, that prayer would be one of those things. I pray that our tithes and our offerings, God, that it would be a customary thing. And Lord, right now, I pray for those who are on the verge of a gear shift in their walk with you. God, I pray that even if others have said, you know, I'm here for you, and I want to make this a reality, but God, their flesh is not strong enough to make that happen. God, today I pray that heaven would be mobilized to bring strength to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray today for those prayer warriors who are out there. God, that it would be ratcheted up another gear. It would be with greater intensity, greater fervency. God, I pray that our prayer chamber, our giving, our church attendance, everything, God, that it would be spirit empowered. It would be powered by heaven. God, that it would be so powerful, Lord, that we would begin to see the manifestation of our destiny even in our prayer chamber. And God, I want to thank you. I pray that we would not be running from your will, but Lord, we would be running to it. And Lord, I pray that every person that is listening today, Lord, that they would be strengthened by heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if any of these broadcasts minister to you, I just encourage you to send off an email to us and let us know. It's encouraging to us. It helps empower us to keep on doing what God has availed us to do here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We do want to close out today's broadcast and remind you of just a few businesses that help defray the cost of this broadcast. Jits Concrete in Cocoa, Florida, 536-5804. Wyrick Air Enterprises, 632-9538. Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432. And Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, 759-3284. They are a blessing to us, and as a result, they're a blessing for you. And pray if you have any of those needs that you'll call them. And we will see you here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would